Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Kinda Funny podcast here for the week right before Halloween. Can't wait to talk to Joey about night teeth. But before we get to that, the man sitting to my right is the second best baby blues of all time, Mr. Tim Geddes. And of course, the lady sitting to my left is Christmas during Halloween time, Joey Noel. Joey, did you watch Night Teeth?
No, completely forgot about it until you said it.
Good, because I was going to owe you an apology. I was like, Joey, this is the thing we're going to watch this weekend. We're going to watch Night Teeth. This movie looks great. Me and D got 15 minutes into it, and I'm like, this is you got me again, Netflix, with your Netflix originals. Tim, you know how sometimes Netflix originals, you're like, oh, this could be the sleeper hit of the year, like to All the Boys I Loved Before, or The Kissing Booth 1 and 2, maybe not 3. Night Teeth looked great. I get 15 minutes and I'm like, how did they make this movie so boring?
I'm going to need a explanation of what the hell Night Teeth is.
It's okay. Perfect. Thank you, Tim, for setting me up for this. I'm glad you asked. Of course, on the ones and twos today, the Nitro Rifle himself taking a little break, taking a step back from having his image out there, right? He just wants his voice to be heard, and he's actually running the show today because Kevin, unfortunately, is still fighting water moccasins. Water snakes have attacked. They have attacked his body and his home, and he is fighting them off left and right. We've asked Joey to help, and Joey just said, no, thank you, sir. Night Teeth, for all of you asking out there, is a Netflix original, has a great trailer. It's about a kid who gets talked into driving his brother's car, like his car service around, and he picks up two smoking hot female vampires who take him around. And it's like, remember the movie Collateral starring Tom Cruise and Jamie Foxx? Yeah. It's Collateral if Tom Cruise was two hot vampire women.
Got it.
Oh, shit.
Which I'm like, oh, that's a great concept. But about 30 minutes into this movie, I'm like, oh, man, they just fundamentally dropped the ball with this film.
That's 100%. A bummer. I was hoping it was going to be like a Jennifer's Body, like cult classic-y Halloween thing.
I've never seen Jennifer's
I've never
Body.
Seen it either. And I feel like I'm missing out.
I think you are. And I know that it got a lot of shit at the time. And like,
well, she had a lot of controversy surrounding her at the time of making Jennifer's Body. Because remember, it was like that whole thing where she had the blow up with Michael Bay, and he tried to excommunicate her from Hollywood, and then like Jennifer's Body was like, I think, kind of her comeback movie, maybe. I could be wrong.
Not so much comeback as much as just next step, because that was 2008, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Oh no, 2009. Yeah. Also, that was right after Revenge of the Fallen.
Completely randomly, Megan Fox in Night Teeth.
What I was like hoping. Yeah. I was they're gonna like make her. She's like gonna be an ode to it.
She's in it for 5 minutes, and I kid you not. And I am not one of those human beings that rails on Megan Fox. I actually think she's a fairly competent actress. But there's phoning it in, and then there's like not knowing what the movie is about. And she is like a step to the left of both of those things in this movie. Like she is not even close to having a character in this film. It's great.
I want to give two shout outs to Megan Fox. One, she was really nice to Joey, and I appreciate people that are really nice to Joey. And I'm just so happy that somehow my life led to Joey and Megan Fox. At all communicating with each other. That's just fantastic.
It is a wild story. You throw DJ Khaled in there and you're just like, what the fuck happened?
Fuck happened for LG OLED? Like, what a dream scenario that is just so bizarre. But then there's the other side of it where it's like, you know, Megan Fox was such a moment in time.
She was such a moment in time.
The like 2010s.
Transformers.
And all of that stuff, right? And then it just kind of like, she kind of became a meme at some point. But I love that we're seeing this resurgence of people where they push through the meme ability and come back as their own memes even stronger. They kind of own their meme ship. And like her and Joey, which one is it? Chloe? Courtney?
Which one?
Courtney Kardashian.
You got to tell me what she did. Which one? The one dating Travis Barker?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's Courtney.
So they have a whole squad right now because he's
with Machine Gun Kelly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they did this photo shoot together. that like inspired a nation in many ways. Like it inspired Gia so much. Gia hadn't done her nails in like 20 years or something. She saw this photo shoot. She's like, I have to get my nails done today. And I'm like, that is really weird that these pictures would inspire you.
Wait,
that way.
Wait, I want to know what these pictures are.
Yeah, why are we talking about like, was there something specifically about the nails that looked really, really good?
Machine Gun Kelly had like pearls stapled to his forehead in one of the pictures from like the
I don't think Gala we're talking thing. About the same pictures. No, yeah. Okay. No. We're
so it was a campaign for Kim Kardashian's like Skims like bodywear shapewear line. And she got both of them to model for it.
Oh, interesting.
I'm putting it in assets.
I'm Tim, you bring
well, this is just yeah. like the People magazine. While I don't, you... I don't know.
While you bring that up, Andy, Tim, you mentioned a very good point, right? Where that people have, Megan Fox has been through it all, right? Has come, and I'm very happy that she's come out the other side and is finding good work these days and finding good projects personally, because I'm a Megan Fox fan. But you said people used to be memes. Right. And now they're taking control of their own memes. And that's something that really hits close to home here, because we never even tried to be the first thing. We just went straight to the second thing. Right. Like, and yeah. then we started. This is it right here. OK, so we have this pulled up for audio listeners. This is is that Megan Fox? Who's the other? This is Courtney
Kardashian's in the back. Megan Fox is in the front.
And they've got very high waisted underwear on and nothing else. And they're very bronzered.
That does not look like Courtney Kardashian.
There's more if you scroll down.
I'm really scared, Joe. I'll be honest with you.
I mean, look, they're all, it's technically safe for work images, but like, yeah, we can stop here.
Not safe for apples, though. Not safe for apples.
No, that apples. Not that apple's going through.
I wonder
right
where
now.
They would put apples in the ranking, you know?
I don't even know. But first off, if you're gonna pick an apple for it, don't pick that random witch apple.
Red Delicious.
That's
some bullshit.
They're terrible apples.
Red Delicious is, oh my god, don't even get me started.
Before
we go
apple.
Too far into the apple stuff, I don't want to get away from what is undoubtedly the greatest photo shoot of all time. I love that they didn't just take a couple of pictures. There are like about 100 pictures from this photo shoot in like 7 different outfits and like a bunch of different non-outfits, and all of it is just like the art design, just the level of care and precision that was put into making sure that these, every single one of these photos meant as much as it possibly can to as many people as possible.
Dude,
I really want to give him a shout out.
Tim, listen. How many times have we done this podcast together? If you had to think.
Hundreds.
Hundreds.
Literally hundreds.
Literally, this is episode, 200 and something? We know what we're selling on this podcast, right? We're selling a hell of a good time. We're selling, take a break from your life. Listen to us talk about apples, right?
Kick back.
When it kicks back, Andy, it's going to be Andy. It's going to be Joey. It's going to be me. It's going to be Tim. It's going to be one Snowbike Mike. Also just chilling there. Snowbike Mike, say what's up.
What's up?
We know the vibe we're selling on this podcast. You better damn well believe that when Kim Kardashian and Kourtney Kardashian got together and they hired Megan Fox, they know what they're selling. They were like, get as many pictures of these two human beings together with an apple. This is going to sell a lot of Spanx or whatever the fuck this product is.
No, but I mean, like, I love it because there's a whole bunch of products and stuff going in. But I'm not kidding. When Gia literally saw this fucking thing, it was like, I got to get my nails done. And Joey, you saw the nails. She had the green nails
and they looked great. I was like, you don't normally have your nails done. Like, and she was like, yeah, I know, but I saw this photo shoot and I just had to do it. It's like Josie and the Pussycats, where it's like in the music, there's the subliminal messaging. And that's, there must be something behind all of those images that just say, I need green nails.
Nick Scarpino.
Can I confide something in you? Because we're in the circle of trust, right?
Here we go.
It's just us and the Patreon people out there, the good people that we love very much. What's up, Patreon people? I'm getting a pedicure.
Ooh.
It's like my third ever.
Shit.
Congratulations.
Yeah. I'm very excited. But I've got, because I've been doing a lot of walking, I got a lot of calluses on my feet. And Dee was like, you know, they got this thing called the callus buster where they take like a thing and they like saw your foot and they do like a little foot massage. And I was like, I'll try it. So I tried it a month ago. And I'm like, I'm kind of digging nail culture. You know what I mean?
I love this for you.
I'm so happy that you're embracing it.
This is a thing that I have purposely stayed away from, largely because sometimes my wife, this is going to shock you, Andy, needs a break from me. Sometimes she needs to just go someplace where she can't hear my voice. But she fucked up. She brought me to one when I was in a moment of vulnerability, and now I like it. And now, and there's like a Starbucks close to this thing, so I can bring it in there. Oh, man.
Is it one that serves you champagne?
What's the full process there?
This sounds like Nick's dream, because we infamously know that Nick loves getting haircuts just so we can sit there and talk to people.
Tim, I almost tried to get one today, but we ran out of time.
But I love that you found a new thing that you now just get to sit there and have people clean you in some way, and you just talk to them.
I want to say, what kind of lies do we think Nick is spinning?
Oh my god!
The barbershop or the nail salon. Like, do you think he acts like a different person completely just to have fun, or is it more of a, I'm going to completely over exaggerate who I am and, you know, what I do for a living? Like, I like to imagine that Nick pretends that he's like a pilot sometimes or something. You know?
I would not be surprised if Nick was like Johnny Ace at one place and some other alter ego at another.
I haven't thought that far ahead for it right now. I'm just trying not to screw this up for myself, truth be told. So like, this is the place my wife goes to get her nails done. She's a known entity there, a known quantity as we like to say. I'm not trying to screw this up for her, but Andy, give me two more and I'm going to walk in like I own this place.
Real quick before we get to the intro here, I will say that, you know, Nick, you used to have, I don't know if you still go to him, but you used to have a barber, like a specific guy that you would always go to. Okay. Well,
Eugene,
I went to him once, and I was like, I'm never doing this again. But that's just a personal thing for me. I don't like that experience of sitting there and it taking forever and having conversations. I just don't like that whole thing. I want to be in and out and just like shave, call it a day.
Right.
But I immediately was like, I totally understand why Nick loves this guy. Like, because he might be the only person that is a bigger personality than you.
He's great. Every time I talk to him, he tells me about another one of his kids.
It's insane. And I'm like, he has so many kids.
I was like, wait, is this the one you just had? He goes, no, man, this is my second oldest. And I was like, how many kids do you, I think he has, like, I swear to God, like six or seven.
It's clear
kids.
That he's forgetting who you are, and he's also embellishing his story, and he's lying to you and saying like, oh yeah, my seven kids. Like, I thought you said you had five. Oh, right. No, but two have been added. Like, he kind of remembers like mid-sentence, fuck, I'm busted here. You got me.
But isn't that what this is for? Isn't it like, can't you just like, I don't want him to remember things about me. I like the idea of starting new every single time because I don't have to think of shit to say. How are you doing? Mm-hmm. Good. You gonna go up to the snow this season? Probably not. I don't ski so much anymore after I hit 41. My knee hurts a little bit. Oh man, that's crazy. We talk about your kids. You rub my face. You cut my hair. I'm out. I gave you a 20% tip. You make me feel special. I'm out. That's where it is, ladies and gentlemen. If you didn't know, this is the Kind of Funny podcast where each and every week, three, sometimes four, sometimes five best friends gather on these podcast mics, each just to talk about what's happening in our daily lives and what we're doing this weekend, whether or not we survived the Sky River or whatever the hell it was they were calling this massive flood we just had.
It was bonkers.
Bonkers. If you want to support this podcast, you may do so in a number of ways. One, you can go over to youtube.com/kindoffunny and subscribe to our channel if you're listening to this audio. Only you can subscribe to those amazing podcast feeds. We do a lot of podcasts on this, everything ranging from video games to reviewing movies, ranking. Right now we're doing the Spider-Man movies again, and let me tell you, if you've got 7 or 8 hours a week extra, you got to go over there and listen to me and Anthony Carboni wax poetic about the ins and outs of the Sam Raimi Spider-Verse. Of course, if you got a couple extra bucks to give, go over to patreon.com/kindoffunny, throw us a couple bucks. You get this content ad-free, and you get access to our dope-ass Patreon-only post-show, which we're going to do in just a little over an hour from now. I want to give a shout-out to our Patreon producers, Pranksky, Delaney Twinning, and Julian the Gluten-Free Gamer. You three are the best of the best, and this is the last week that you're sponsoring this podcast until next month, and I hope to see at least one of your names on there, because I like saying them, because I've said them a month straight, and I finally got them right, I think. Today, we're brought to you by Trade Coffee, Uncommon Goods, and MeUndies, but we'll talk about that just a bit later. Now back to what we were talking about. I totally forgot.
That was a great intro, Nick.
Thank you.
You killed it. Easily the best intro you've ever done. Congratulations.
As Mike said before we started, I'm in the pocket right now.
He's in the pocket.
There's a lot of vibes going into this one where it's like, what's this going to be? But my favorite thing is Kevin's out because he's battling the Sky Rivers or whatever Nick called it. But I love that Andy's running the show. And like, he was like totally cool, totally confident. It was all good setting up. But there was a moment he broke where we're all like just like talking to him as if we talked to Kevin before the show, which is like, you know, way too aggressively. And like, you can just hear Andy just being like, uh-oh, I got it. Don't got it. Got it. No, don't got it. We're live. No, we're not live. Yeah. Is the intro playing? Why is it playing five times?
It's the best. It is. It's one of those moments where, like, you know, obviously Andy stepping up to help produce this show right now. And it's one of those moments where I had to look really hard inwardly, right? Because there's a number of different things happening right now. One, I got good sleep last night. Two, we just got a great vibe overall with this cast going into this podcast. So I'm like, sky's the limit. My brain's firing all cylinders. But the differentiator in this one, right, the wild card, as they say, is we're getting ready to start. Andy's setting shit up. Snowbike Mike drops in audio only.
Pops in.
And when Mike's here, I feel like I need to make it worth his time. I got to take it up a notch with Mikey here. I got to impress him, right? Oh, I want to get the invite back to late night gaming, right? I want, you know what I mean? I want to, like, I want him to be like, Nick is like secretly like, he'll tell you that Andy's the coolest, but secretly he's like, Nick is the fucking coolest guy. Kind of funny, right? So of course, what am I going to do, Tim? I don't have much I can offer. I start picking on Andy as he's going through the most frustrating part of his day. I'm like, I don't know what it is about me that digs deep and just starts fucking with him, but I did it and it was fun. And I do it again.
Nick, probably next week. Nick, there's an episode of The Office where Michael Scott is kind of being hooked up with one of Pam's friends, maybe her sister. I forget exactly who it is, but he doesn't realize it in the moment, Nick. He's just kind of like being himself, totally cool, and everything's going great. And then it dawns on him. Somebody kind of hints to him, hey, you know, I think she's into you. And then he goes, oh, my God, this is a date. Holy cow, I didn't realize this. So he walks out to his car, opens his trunk, gets a little like beret hat, like a little news, what do they call it? Newsboys hats,
tries to be
H-boy hat, yeah.
And then immediately thinks he needs to turn it on. And it really reminds me of you that he walks back in there and he's suddenly trying to do this thing. And everybody's like, no, you were doing fine. Why are you doing this?
I respect that, Andy. I respect and I appreciate that. Tim, what is this that you just slacked us here?
So I saw Alfredo's sister, I was following her on Instagram, and I saw she was posting pictures of her. You know how in the last couple of years they've been doing these like Instagram pop-up experiences everywhere? Yeah. And there's a lot of them that are kind of like, oh, you can visit like a remake of the Friends set or whatever. They recently did one for The Office, and she got to go. It's in Chicago, and it's cool as hell. Like, it's just straight
this
up.
You
get to go to The Office. And
this
you can
looks
go
so
down.
Dope.
Go down, Andy. Yeah, there's a slideshow here. They have a ton of like so many references to the show, like just hidden throughout, and like you get to pose for pictures and stuff. And I'm like, this is so fucking cool. And I love that we're in a world at a time that like this is not only possible, Ryan's but happening closet. And cool.
This is awesome. This is actually a really cool idea. I mean, they went all out on this. First off, shout out to them having this like 1990s TV playing episodes of The Office in this conference room on slide 7. Oh, that's amazing.
The beet farm? Wow.
Also,
the chili.
Kevin's chili.
Tim, this gives me a really good idea. If you look at slide 8, they have vending machines. I think we should have vending machines in the new office, in the new studio. Just make some of that cash. We'd probably make like $2,000 off a snowbike mic alone.
This is a great idea. Yeah. Now that it's us here, how do we make vending machines to capitalize off the rest of the team?
Kevin alone would fund the vending machine, right? Well, here's what we have to do. We have to have a vending machine. What is the product that Kevin can't live without?
Corn dogs.
Yes.
Milkshakes.
Yes.
Milkshakes. We have to have a milkshake.
No, I feel like milkshakes are too far.
It's just more aesthetically that I love. That I just love the idea of little corn dogs in the little turnstile things.
That's so funny.
Guys, I'm sorry that I just keep grabbing things and running away.
Who cares?
We've definitely told this story before, but I'm going to tell it again.
Tell it again, dude.
So there used to be vending machines at IGN. There probably still are. But when we were there were vending machines, and it was a quarter for everything. No matter what you got in these things, it was a quarter. And that was cool because it meant like a can of soda is a quarter, but also a packet of Pop-Tarts is a quarter.
Awesome.
And it's just like, yo, this is fucking dope. But it also meant that the cup of noodles were a quarter. And I kid you fucking not. We had a morning meeting every single day at 10 a.m. Every day. All hands. Everyone had to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Every day, Sean Finnegan would come into the meeting, not at 10. It would usually be at like 10:03. 10:05 while the meeting's happening, walks it like he's been in the building because he's clearly coming from the cafeteria with a fucking cup of noodles, and he's just slurping that shit at 10 in the morning. And it was the most destructive thing ever.
And that's like not a quiet food to eat.
No. And he was not quiet eating it.
It's an all hands meeting. We're all standing up. It's not like you can hide when you walk it. We're in a big circle, like standing up, and it's quiet unless you're talking. And that would be the thing. Now, Tim's obviously was very responsible, because usually me and Alexis would walk in about 5-6 minutes after Sean Finnegan, because I hated any meetings at IGN. I just refused to go to a lot of them. But God bless Sean Finnegan, dude. That dude is, he just lived the life. You know what I mean? Like, the threat of him sleeping at his desk is the best thing ever.
I would do corn dogs for Kevin. I think we could figure out some sort of sort of variant thing here, Joe. Maybe are they like milkshake candies or something?
Well, I'm sure we could get like protein milkshakes or something like that Kevin could get that would upset his stomach extra. If we also had brownies and chai lattes, I'm not going to point fingers at who would eat all of those, but
you wouldn't be able to keep them stocked. That's the problem.
No. If we had a vending machine just for brownies and another vending machine for Starbucks iced chai lattes.
Oh, God.
First off, Mike would probably not even eat them. He'd probably still order them from Starbucks, because I think he just gets off on having them delivered to his house. It's like a power trip that he has going on. Am I right, Mike?
Yeah, I love that. I'll tell you what, my local Starbucks can't keep enough Frappuccinos in the fridge, so there's your challenge.
Nick, you stock some fruit roll-ups individually, charge them for $15. Mike will buy those motherfuckers.
I feel like we'll do that. We'll have another vending machine that's just Mountain Dew game fuel, but the rare ones, like the one that's like it's like pineapple and hibiscus.
Oh my god,
nobody wants this except for Andy wants to drink it, but he wants to drink it because he likes when people see him in pain on streams, where he's like, I don't like this thing.
No,
it just keeps going.
Nick, speaking of which, there's I don't know how public this is. I don't know whether I'm breaking any embargoes or anything like that.
You're fine,
but there's a pineapple Mountain Dew available, I believe, at Target, and it is it's exclusive to the Target, which I love. I love when stores do their own exclusive things, like when you can you get the Taylor Swift CD cover here, but you get the cooler one if you go to Target. Like, that's what I love when stores do that. They have I believe it's Target or maybe Kmart, but there's a pineapple exclusive.
Is it Maui Burst?
That's the one, Joe. That's the one. And I really think that maybe the Dew Dome makes an appearance, because like I would love to re-rank the Mountain Dews and just feel like shit for at least 2 days because all the sugar we're intaking.
Solid 2 days.
Yeah.
Too much. It's like that perfect combination of too much caffeine and too much sugar that just throws your endocrine system into like whack.
Yep.
So Joey, did you just flag that there?
I did.
Let me see this thing.
I love all of this. Oh yeah, here we go.
Maui Burst, Maui pineapple. Burst.
Oh god, even the can already. Design looks disgusting.
Dew with the blast.
This is from January 2020, which is a while ago.
Them.
Granted,
still selling them. They're on
it's
sale.
New to us, Nick. You know, if it's a rerun, and I haven't seen it, it's new to me. You know,
absolutely, absolutely, my friend.
Oh my god, you just showed a picture of Sean Paul, which reminded me of Pitbull, obviously. And last week, the WWE had a pay-per-view in Saudi Arabia, the Crown Royale, like their annual thing they do. It's a really big show, but nobody wants to do it because there's a lot of political things with Saudi Arabia. It's a complicated mess. Right. So what essentially ends up happening is WWE is just like, we will pay the legends like Undertaker and shit so much money just to show up to this fucking thing. Mm-hmm. So they did that. But the Undertaker's retired, but they still had the Undertaker. So what they have the Undertaker do? The fucking Undertaker, you guys. Probably the biggest legend in WWE history. He comes out, he does his entrance.
The musical artist.
It takes like 10 minutes of him doing the whole
really slow, right?
Walks slow, all that. He gets out there. Undertaker, man a few words, always, right?
Yeah.
He had some words this time, and those were, ladies and gentlemen, Pitbull.
No way.
I fucking kid you not. I need to find the video, because he does it, and it's just like, ladies and gentlemen, Pitbull. Yay, yay, yay.
What the fuck? Don't stop the party. That's so weird.
Is there no place that Pitbull isn't?
He's Mr. Worldwide.
Man, it's like, it's in the name. I love it.
Pitbull is a guy that I know very little about, but I feel like has just been famous my entire life.
Yeah, I mean, he's been having hits forever.
I couldn't tell you one Pitbull.
He's been
in
almost every single Fast and Furious movie soundtrack, which when you think about that, like,
guess how old he is.
Fast and Furious. Guess how old he is?
Yeah.
Ooh, good question. I would say 52.
23.
I think he's
40. Okay. 23.
He's 40.
Started singing when he was 4.
He's 40.
Have you guys ever seen pictures of Pitbull with hair?
No, I want to see Pitbull.
I don't think
hair.
So.
I got you. Don't
Is that
worry.
A thing?
This was a TikTok that went around earlier this year, but like I just pulled up the article of it. Not what you would expect.
Top right. Look at the top
God.
Right.
Oh, God. It's not
left.
Good,
he,
though.
He looks like when Jared Leto was top in that movie, the Panic Room movie. Oh, top
he
left.
He always reminds me of the guy.
Yeah.
The kid from Outside Providence. A little bit.
Outside Providence. I don't know.
I'm trying to think of another movie this kid was in. I want to say he was like the...
That looks like Zac Efron on the right. I'm sorry.
I mean, that is Zac Efron on the right, I think. Is it not? Is that Pitbull with a full head of hair?
Yeah. That's
Wait, he's got that much hair?
Apparently.
Why is he not... Why does he shave it? That's sacrilege.
Because here's the thing, Nick. Like, yeah, you can clearly see...
He's got a hairline.
Like, yeah.
I don't...
How often do you think he has to shave to keep it that shiny?
Like every 3 days, maybe.
This looks like Zac Efron. What the hell's going on?
Do you
think
that he sort
of...
No, that's not real. That's not real. There's no way he's got this much hair.
Holy shit.
That's the kind of thing that I really just... I find offensive. Like, as a person who is
so
just
excited.
Desperately trying to keep his hair. When people have hair and they decide to shave it, it is... blasphemous. It is an insult to everything that I stand for. God gave you good genetics and you just, what are you, at a convenience, you're just going to shave your head?
It's an embarrassment of riches, Nick. It really is. The people that collect cars, and there's people in the streets that are poor and would love a mode of transportation. You got Jay Leno with his fucking 90 classic vehicles and his garage that's probably worth more than, you know, the bottom 40% combined. It's just, it's embarrassing, Nick. And it, equal to that is, again, shaving your head if you have hair.
100%. Those are the only other thing that I've seen someone, the only other crime that someone's committed against me in the last like year, it's more blasphemous, more sacrilege than this, is when one Snowbike Mike was growing his hair out and he secretly committed to me that he was going to do a mullet. He said he was going to go 1989 baseball player, and then he wussed out and decided to go with his normal fresh cut. I've never been more disappointed with someone, and I don't think I ever will be again.
When the kids teased me and said that I looked like the ancient alien dude, that's when it broke me, Nick. So I'm very close.
What ancient alien dude?
The aliens.
You ever see Beep?
Yeah.
Wait. Which, what are we talking about? Which one
the
is this?
Aliens meme guy.
Oh my god!
Please pull this up.
I was all in, Nick. Just so you know, like I was gonna kill it with that Kentucky waterfall. And then somebody posted that, and it broke me. It was over.
It's, you know, Mike. It's not far off, though.
You know, Mike. Oh, you know, god. Mike. I hate to agree with our audience. I hate to agree with people that watch our content. But they are right on this one. That was, it's not like, it wasn't, it's not, the, you don't look like this guy. But the vibe that this guy is putting out, you were starting to radiate. You know what I mean? It's like when you get into someone's car, they haven't cleaned it in a while. It doesn't smell bad, but it's not a smell I want to be around a lot.
Yeah.
That's what this kind of reminds me of.
That's the vibe that Mike was putting out for a while.
Yeah, that would broke me.
God bless you, Mike. Now, Andy, I want to ask you a question before we get into some Patreon questions, because we got a couple humdingers here that I want to throw past you. I see you take a swing at it, knock it out of the park, get a little grand slam, get the home run, win the game.
Mm-hmm.
You're not a fan of scary movies, but you are going to see a scary movie with us this week. Is that correct?
Yes.
You have heard that, audience. Now, if Andy tries to back out of this, this is a verbal contract that he's seeing the new Edgar Wright movie with us at some point this week.
It's annoying, and... I'm not happy.
You feel betrayed, don't you?
I'm not happy with Sir Edgar Wright.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's...
Is he a knight? Has he been knighted?
I believe so. Okay. I'm not happy with the fact that this man has made a lot of movies that we've all enjoyed on the In Review series, Edgar Wright In Review. Had a lot of fun with them. And then this motherfucker says, hey, next I'll do a scary movie. Mm-hmm. And why? Like, what's the point? For what? You don't have to do that. Well, who are you trying to impress? You know, I'll enjoy whatever you're going to do next. And also just the idea of like Midnight at the Soho Express mm-hmm. sounds like such a cool like mystery kill. Like, you know, the, it's a whodunit kind of like the one y'all always talk about with
Knives Out.
Bradley Cooper. Yeah. Knives Out.
Bradley Cooper.
Yep.
Bradley Cooper. What's going on here? I love it.
Bradley Cooper in Knives Out. When you all Silver talk about how that's like this out. Really cool whodunit, it got me really excited for Midnight in the Soho Express. And I don't like that it's a horror movie. I'm not a fan of it. I don't know. I'm not happy with it. I'm going to hope to, you know, drown my face in the popcorn. Maybe the scary mm-hmm. moment's going to happen. You know what all these scary movies do. They get it's high it's tension, quiet. High tension, that's quiet. And it's yep. quiet, and you're like, mm-hmm. here comes the fucking jump scare. What? It's just, this is cheap. If See, you have to Andy, resort to this is a cheap trick. I'm going to dig my head in that big ass tub of popcorn, Nick.
I'm excited to see this because the thing that you just said is absolutely correct. Like, this is a psychological horror movie, and horror movies, they always get you. Quiet, loud, boom, cheap scare, right? This is Edgar Wright we're talking about. These transitions are going to fucking catch you off guard, and you're going to get slap. Spooked, Andy Cortez. You're going to get popcorn all over the place, and we are never, ever going to let you hear the end of it.
I'll tell you what. Look, I actually have a showing at another theater, so I won't be going to that one tonight. I have one at another theater that I'm really excited about, but I'll be alone. I'll be just by myself.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, you know, Andy, that this is actually a situation where we got early screener tickets to it. So you can't just go to another theater.
Yeah, there are no other.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Can I propose something to you, Nick?
I would love that, Joey. Go ahead.
So we're all going to see this movie at some point. Mm-hmm. Famously, Andy, not great at handling the popcorn.
Midnight at the Soho Express.
Not great. Not great at it.
It's not that he's not great at it. It's just that, like, you know when you have that kicker for your football team, Mike, that just consistently misses the winning field goal, and you're like, God, we got to do better than this guy, but you're just too lazy to get a new kicker. That's kind of like what Andy's like when you let him carry the popcorn.
That's Go not ahead, true. Joey. It's not true.
I would like to recommend, for just some entertainment value on top of the movie, if we mm-hmm. all get large popcorn so that every time Andy inevitably throws the popcorn for a jump scare, right. we just rotate in a new one.
I'm fine
so
with that. So
it's fresh. Equal amounts of volume. See how many times.
And then Nick is going to eat all of it. Here's the thing, though. I don't know if we will ever. I don't know if I will experience a jump scare scarier than the one in Spider-Man 1. When. Oh, no, it's 2. When Franco is looking out at the city and he's hearing noises. And then you see Doc Ock's claw just come out of nowhere.
Just pump.
That got me like that. You know, that got me. I was like, oh, my God, fucking Jesus Christ, Sam Raimi. That's a little too much right now.
You are for sure going to get scared more than that tonight.
Also, we're watching it in Atmos, which is like the loudest theater in the world.
Dude, it was so loud when we saw that other. What did we see? Venom was so ridiculously loud, dude. Venom was like an awful experience.
It's like they were like, we know this movie is not good. What added value can we put on this? What if we played it 5 times louder than any human being can actually listen to something without fucking permanent hearing damage? Yeah, that's the ticket. That's what we need.
Man, I've been chewing gum all fucking week, everybody. Like, I'm
going to get lockjaw.
I bought one of those big ass boxes of bubble gum that you buy kind of in bulk in a sense. And it's like, you know, little 5 packs of Bubblicious, but it's about.
Oh, so you sort of bought bubble gum, not like minty.
Bubble gum, Joe. Bubble
Orbit
gum.
Or anything.
And it's strawberry watermelon, something like that. But it's like 30 packs of these 5 packs. And I'm almost done with half the box because I chew them. Flavor goes away. I set them down and I might put it back in my mouth if I want a little bit more of a taste. And I'll set it back down. I'm setting it back down on the wrapper again, but I have a problem. And it's like, it's ridiculous with all the bubblegum that's just sort of sitting around me right now.
I think the problem is less that you're chewing bubblegum or that you're putting it down and putting it back in your mouth. That's some psychopath shit.
That's like the '80s when people used to put it underneath, like they put it like on their cup or on their glasses, or whatever. Keep doing the thing and then take it out. Or no, behind the ear. What movie was it where they put it behind the ear and then took it out and put it back
in? Oh yeah,
was that Willy Wonka?
I know exactly what you're talking. And that's so gross because like I'm always making sure I'm cleaning the back of my ears. And inside
you don't want
my
that schmegma back there. Yeah,
no, there's always lint and there's always all sorts of things going on everywhere.
Yeah, you don't want that extra like that buildup. You don't want any buildup anywhere on your body. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about scary movies real quick. It's the week of Halloween. I know we got another podcast coming out there, but I've been very invested in watching scary movies all month with my wife. I've been like programming our TV every Saturday and Sunday to watch some fun, scary movies. And I've also concurrently been watching the newest season of The Movies That Made Us, which are actually very horror themed. They've got the Friday the 13th. They've got Halloween. They've got Jesus. Ooh. God, Andy. What is it?
That's the gum on my desk right now.
Do you want Andy! People to walk into your room?
You can't do that.
You can't do that, Andy.
That is not okay.
What I do is I reach for the closest one because I know that's the one that's probably got the most flavor in it.
Mike. Whoa, no. God. I want to throw
what?
Up.
In the vending machine, Nick, put gum in there. I'll make a bunch of money off Andy. Put gum.
Oh, my God. Absolutely not. I'm not. Dude, that's if I see that in the new office, I'm just going to leave. I'm just going to leave.
It's over.
I'm done. Watching a lot of horror movies. We had a fun question come through over on Patreon from Legend of Zelda and said, what was the horror movie or show that effed you up the most? That can be because it was so scary or maybe it had some other effect on you. Happy spooky month. Love you all. Of course, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to ask us questions, you go over to patreon.com/kindoffunny where you can write in just like Legend of Zelda did. I'm going to kick this off real quick because there aren't a lot of movies that messed me up that I have watched lately. But last night, for some reason,
and so because it's on Amazon Prime.
No, Andy, no, worse. I watched, with D, Arachnophobia. Thinking, Tim, there's no way I remember this movie correctly, right? There's no way this movie is as unbelievably unnerving as it was when I watched it for the first time back in the Canyon Crest Cinemas back in 1990 in Riverside, California. Fuck, it holds up. Do not watch this movie if you have any fear of spiders. There's a moment where Jeff Daniels, they just walk into the house. Have you ever seen this movie, Tim?
Oh, yeah.
Mike, have you ever seen Arachnophobia?
I have seen this movie.
Okay. There's a moment where they walk in at the very, very end. And Jeff Daniels is looking around, and he's there with like the two other guys. He's got John Goodman with him. I think he's got
this one in the barn.
No. The guy's already died. The English dude from Warlock has already died in the barn, and they're going into the house to get his wife and the kid or the two kids. Mm-hmm. And they walk in all silently, and he's just like, and his wife like looks over and catches on like something's going on, right? And then the kid screams, and on the TV they're watching Family Ties. And this almost ruined Family Ties for me. This is how scary this was. Looks over. One of the spiders is crawling down the front of the TV. And then, like fucking clockwork, another scream. They look over. And spiders just start pouring out from behind the drapes. And it cuts. And it goes from no spiders on the walls to every wall has a live spider on it. And this was the part that I distinctly remember when I was a kid going, I would like to get the fuck out of this theater. I would like to get up and just leave this theater right now. And if it wasn't for John Goodman's character, who was like the comic relief, I think I would have freaked out and left that theater back in the day. But I'm thinking to myself, like, there's no way I'm going to be as unnerved with this. Me and Dee are hiding our eyes as we're watching this last night because this movie was still so well done with all of the live spider act. They call them actors, but I call them spiders. All the live spiders that they used.
Yeah.
They did an IMDb trivia. They were like, all the spider actors are like, they don't care. The spiders don't care how you refer to
them. Yeah, they have a union. Yeah.
So I want to know, is there any movies like that from y'all's past that you think of that if you watch still to this day or any franchises to this day that still makes you just feel like you're a 10-year-old kid inside?
So I have an answer that is kind of related. I feel like if I were to watch it today, it wouldn't get me as bad, but it would bring me back to the moments. And that is Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds.
Oh man. Which I know that's a good one.
That's the arachnophobia of the skies.
But that's the thing, though. It's like you're scared of spiders. You're not scared of birds. Right? I grew up in San Francisco. There's fucking pigeons and shit everywhere. It's like seagulls and all this stuff. It's like I'm used to birds. But let me tell you guys the story of the birds. Now, my mom and dad, born and raised San Francisco, so they're very proud, just like I am. It's a whole, it runs in the family type situation. Because of that, there's been a lot of movies that were shot around the Bay Area. And of course, there any chance they get, like, did you know that in Return of the Jedi, the speeder bikes were in this forest and blah, 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 like all that type of stuff, right? And me being a little kid, so into it. Like, this is the coolest thing ever.
So dope.
But I didn't need to know that the birds was shot just right across the bridge, right up there, right?
So close.
So we were there.
With live bird actors.
And we were there, exactly. We went, I must have been like 5 or 6. And that meant Cool Greg was like 4. And we're hanging out, we're having lunch. And my mom's telling me, like, this is where they shot the birds. I'm like, oh my God, that's so cool, but that's scary, whatever. And I fucking kid you not, about 30 minutes into this lunch, a bird comes out of the sky. My brother's hair, like, he normally shaves it now, but you guys see it when it grows out. And it's this fucking beautiful,
it's gorgeous.
Like, rat blonde nest, curls. Blonde, yes. Just like insanity, right? So this bird must have thought it was a nest. Comes diving out of the sky and just like starts fucking attacking my 4-year-old brother. My dad gets involved, starts fucking swinging around and shit. The bird eventually just flies off. My brother, totally fine. It just kind of dived on him. It was just a scary moment.
Camera pans over to Tim.
I didn't stop crying for fucking hours. Like, it was the scariest thing humanly possible. Yeah. A 6-year-old little Timmy, all right? I'm standing there with my fucking Optimus Prime rolling it along like the side things, and all of a sudden, the fucking birds happens where they shot the birds. I didn't trust my mom. I was so mad. I was convinced that she knew what she was doing, and she was tempted fate. And, like, I think it was the first time I was legitimately upset with my parents.
Yeah. I love that. I love it because there's nothing more terrifying than like death from above, especially in San Francisco where everything is just so vertical on this planet. Joey, what say you? Actually, before we ask Joey about her her favorite horror, least favorite horror movie, we're going to take a second to tell you about our sponsors.
Wow, the ads are at 41 minutes and 6 seconds.
We could have probably put them a little earlier, actually, right before this topic, but... I forgot. I'm a bad host.
This episode is brought to you by MeUndies. Are you ready for mashed potato season, aka turkey with gravy and cranberry sauce season, aka every kind of pie and more season? Well, MeUndies is here with the softest and stretchiest undies in the game, so you can be ready for seconds and thirds, baby. I love MeUndies. I have for a very long time, even right now. Of course, I'm wearing my lounge pants, the undies themselves, and the socks. I love having that soft micromodal fabric all over my body. They have undies and loungewear made out of soft, breathable, stretchy fabrics that are perfect for everything from pre-dinner activities to post-dinner naps. MeUndies also has a great deal for you guys. For any first-time purchasers, you can get 15% off and free shipping. MeUndies also has a promise. If you're not satisfied with any product for any reason, you can return your order for a full refund within 45 days. To get 15% off your first order, free shipping, and 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/morning. That's MeUndies.com/morning. And next up, shout out to Trade. Are you the kind of person who falls asleep already thinking about the next morning's coffee? Well, Trade's goal is to make every cup of coffee your best ever. The journey to your perfect cup starts with taking their coffee quiz. You use a French press, automatic drip. You're a cold brew person? No problem. Trade will match you to coffees you'll love from 400 plus craft coffees and will send you a freshly roasted bag as often as you'd like. Trade guarantees you'll love your first match. On the off chance that you don't, though, they'll replace it with a different bag for free. Me and Cool Gray had a lot of fun going through the quiz, trying to find him his perfect coffee, and he has been having a great time with Trade. For you guys out there, right now, Trade is offering your first bag free and $5 off your bundle at checkout. To get yours, just go to drinktrade.com/kindoffunny and use promo code kindoffunny. Take the quiz to start your journey to the perfect cup. That's drinktrade.com/kindoffunny, promo code kindoffunny for your first bag free and $5 off of your bundle. That's drinktrade.com/kindoffunny.
kind of funny. And next up, shout out to Uncommon Goods. If you're on a mission to be the best gift giver ever this season, it's never too early to start looking, no matter who you're shopping for. Uncommon Goods is the place to find remarkable and truly original gifts for anyone. Me and Gia actually recently just did a puzzle that we got from them. That was a lot of fun, just for some like bonding date night time. And there's actually a bunch of really cool date night options there. There was one thing that I was looking at that is a date night painting, where you get this, you get the package and you actually get a 90-minute session with an instructor. You guys get to paint together. It's a whole thing. It sounds like a blast. Uncommon Goods looks for products that are high quality, unique, and often handmade. They have the most meaningful, out of the ordinary gifts anywhere. And with every purchase you make, Uncommon Goods gives $1 back to a nonprofit partner of your choice. That's awesome. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/kindoffunny. That's uncommongoods.com/kindoffunny for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. uncommongoods.com/kindoffunny.
Joey, what is a horror franchise that messed you up as a kid?
Okay. I have some comments before I get to that point. One, Nick nailed it with arachnophobia. The scene of the spider crawling into the slipper has stayed with me for my entire life. Anytime I put on a slipper, which is like multiple times a day.
Yep.
Like, I like my slippers. I always have to like check.
You got to check.
To make sure that anything's in there.
You got to do the clap. Yeah. I do the clap single time I put shoes on.
I hate it. Kind of piggybacking off of that. Another horror moment that has stuck with me my entire life.
Before though, you just reminded me of the one that got D last night. The one where she literally had to hide. I've never heard my wife, you know, my wife, very even keel person. Mm-hmm. Nothing really affects her, right? She's married to me, for Christ's sake, at this point. She's like stone cold killer. Hides her eyes and balls up into a ball on the couch during the shower sequence in Arachnophobia.
Oh, that's another. Ooh.
When the fucking spider comes down and this poor actress had to deal with a live spider coming down and crawling on face as she, and she absolutely thinks Andy, not. She thinks it's water at first and then realizes it's a spider and then bats it away and it climbs down her nude body and then goes into the drain. And it's like, talk about the most vulnerable sequence ever. Horrifying. Spiders, kill them all. Why do they exist? Why do we still have them? Joey, I apologize for interrupting.
Absolutely not. You're totally fine. A few weeks ago, I get a late night phone call from one Greg Miller. I answer it. And he was like, no, it was a good one. It was a Joey, it's time. I need you to come take care of Portillo.
Right.
Perfect. I've been on deck. I've been waiting for, living for this moment, you know. Get in my car, start driving over to Greg's. I am on 19th and behind or in front of me is a logging truck.
Oh no, dog. You nailed it with this, Joe.
Yeah.
Logging truck. I see it in front of me, immediately get over as far as humanly possible. Final Destination has fucked up so many things where it's like, I could not even tell you the like plot, the characters, who else is in it besides Devon Sawa, but there, that logging truck scene has never once left my brain for my entire 32 years of life or however, since I've seen this movie. That's terrifying.
Final Destination 2's opening scene. It is just.
What? I don't remember that. Does the log go through someone's face like the Lethal Weapon 2 or what happens in that?
The Highway to Hell starts playing as they're driving on a highway.
Yeah.
And then it's just a fucking comedy of errors of all this shit. But yeah, the logs all fucking fall off and it just turns into insanity. One day they'll make another Final Destination. And on that day, we will do Final Destination in review. And I can't.
We got to try to get Devin to at least be on one of those.
100%.
I bet he'd do at least one. I don't think we can get him to commit for all of it. He's a busy guy. But if we can get him for the first one, that'd be amazing. And I'll just refer to him as his character in that.
I do have another one, though, which I must have told on some show. Maybe
we've
not
talked about this
people.
Before, but I love going over them every Halloween. This is my favorite topic.
The Blair Witch Project scared the shit out of me as a kid because so I grew up like movies is like my family's thing, which sounds is like a weird thing to say. But like my mom is a big movie buff, always wanted me to watch a ton of movies, all that sorts of stuff. And horror specifically is like something my mom's really into. So we decide my mom decides I'm going to take baby childhood Joey to go see Blair Witch Project in theaters.
Mrs. Takagami, what are you doing?
This is totally just like a glimpse into my family. My grandma, when my mom was little, like my grandpa owned a bar in the city. So like he was gone at nights and stuff like that. So my mom would be like in my grandma's room with her and stuff like that. And my grandma would be like, I feel the urge. And my mom would be like so scared. And like my grandma had convinced my mom that she was like a vampire for a period of time just to like fuck with my mom.
That is the best. Is
and the my best. Mom would be like, no, you don't. And my grandma would be like, I need blood. And my mom would be like, wait till dad gets home. And she'd be like, my grandpa, she's like, no, his neck is old and like wrinkly. I want like fresh blood. And it would just like freak my mom out. And that's just like the weird humor in my family.
God bless. I love that.
So like essentially that boils down to like torturing children is like a normal thing that we do.
Yeah, of course.
So Blair Witch Project, we go. My dad's out of town on a business trip. We go. I'm scared. This is also, I feel like it's so hard to tell this story because found footage was like not a genre of horror at that time. And like nobody knew if it was real or fake. There was that whole like marketing campaign of like, it was unknown actors, so nobody knew who they were.
It wasn't like Steve Buscemi was like, hi, I'm here, I'm the Blair Witch. No, it was like a bunch of no-names.
Exactly.
How was that? Was that a good? Andy, you're the master of impressions. How was my Steve Buscemi there?
It's honestly not bad for a first try.
Andy, can you give me a little Steve Buscemi? Andy, can you give me the Steve Buscemi as Blair Witch, please?
I don't know. I think like a little bit more nasally. Like I don't know. I'm Steve Buscemi. I don't know what do you want from me. You know, like just something like that. Like
I'll workshop it. Back to Joey.
I've also never tried that ever, and that was like easily like a 3 out of 10.
Yeah, we're both sub 5 out of 10 for sure on those.
So we go. I'm terrified. I have no idea if this is real. Like, nobody knows. Like, there was, like, some sort of, like, ARG before it came out. I don't remember. So we go home. My dad's out of town. One of the exciting things when my dad's out of town is I get to sleep in my mom's room. And that means all the dogs are there. And this is an exciting, fun thing. So we go to bed. Da, 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 da. In the middle of the night, somebody's car alarm starts going off. Stressful. Annoying, whatever. My mom is like, who the fuck's car alarm is still going off? Like, it's been going off for like 10 minutes. She goes to the front of the house and looks out the window and realizes it's coming from our car, which like we don't have a car alarm on our car. So she's like, what? I don't understand what's happening. She goes downstairs. I have seen all the movies. Yeah, I'm not going. I'm staying upstairs there with the dogs.
Yeah.
My mom goes. She opens the car door. It's not a car alarm. It's the car horn is like stuck and just blaring.
Oh, no.
So I'm like,
is it Blair Witching?
Blair Witching.
Oh.
Blaring Witch. Nice.
So she just starts like hitting it because she doesn't know what else to do. And just like out of the corner of her eye, she can see one of our neighbors used to rent out a bunch of rooms. Just a dark figure with the lit end of a cigarette. Just watching. Not saying anything. Just watching. So my mom's like hitting this car horn trying to figure out what the fuck is happening. Eventually gets it to stop honking and then like runs inside away from this man who's literally never said anything, but it's probably like 20 feet from my mom. Just smoking a cigarette and watching.
He just keeps every time she looks back, he's just a little closer. You're like,
all right. Oh gosh, I could not handle that. Right. Comes back upstairs, literally has never happened ever again in the lifetime of owning that car, but happens to be the one time we see Blair Witch and my dad's out of town.
I love it.
I've never once recovered from that story. And that's why I think that there's something out there. I don't know what it is. Sometimes I don't want to ask too many questions.
Oh, the devil's real. The devil's real. Demons are real.
The devil's real.
The devil's real. Blair Witch messed me up too, for sure. I would like to, I don't want to put this person on the spot, but I would like to ask Mike if he could, if he's comfortable telling us why he doesn't like horror movies.
Yes, Nick. I would love to tell you the story.
Here we go.
Why I don't like horror movies.
It's the funniest fucking thing I've ever heard.
So back in 2006, a movie called Texas Chainsaw Massacre hit the scene and everybody was very excited. And there's one thing that I love about my mom is she is a huge horror buff. She loves all of the spooky, scary things around Halloween, and she loves to get a little fright to her system. So one day, it was a nice Saturday afternoon. It was me, my mom, and my best friend, Cole Capsalis, at the time. And we went to the movie theater, and I thought we might go see Spider-Man. We might go see something nice, uplifting, positive, as I like to keep it. And mom and Cole said, you know, it would be cool if we saw Texas Chainsaw Massacre. You're 16. You're thinking, man, mom's going to take us into a rated R movie. 16. That sounds kind of dope, right? And I looked at mom and Cole, and I was a little apprehensive. I was like, I don't know, maybe. And they're like, no, don't worry about it. We're going to do it, right? And so we go into Texas Chainsaw Massacre. It's us and one dude sitting by himself. And I'll tell you what, if you ever go to a horror movie and there's just one jabroni sitting by himself, you probably shouldn't be in that movie theater because that guy, he's got a screw loose. Okay, I'm going to be honest with y'all. So we sit down. Tim, Joey, I promise you not. It's 10 minutes into the film. We've had the lead up. It's a bunch of hot college bodies in a minivan driving through the state of Texas. They stop at a scary gas station. Scary people are there saying, oh, don't come to this town. You don't want to be here. And they're like, oh, don't worry. We're going to party, right? Then all of a sudden, 2 seconds later, they drive down the highway and this girl runs out of the bushes. Penny. Penny doesn't look good. She's got dirt. She's got mud. She's got blood on her. And she's screaming about something bad. And I remember gripping the chair real tight going, oh, I don't like this setting. And all of a sudden, Penny reaches up into her hoo-ha and pulls out a revolver and shoots her brains out 5 minutes into the film. I immediately stood up, looked at Mom and Cole, and I said, we're leaving right now. Face full of tears, crying in front of them. I said, we're leaving. And they said, Mike, the movie hasn't started yet. I said, no, we're leaving right now. There's no questions. And they both stood up, giggled, and we walked out of the movie theater. The guy looked at us. The one loner dude looked at us as we left. And at that point, I had never watched a horror movie again since then. And I'm still scarred to this day. I have a TV running all night long because I'm afraid that Texas Chainsaw Massacre Man might come and murder me in my sleep. So my thought process is he'll see ESPN on, think that I'm awake. Can't murder me if I'm awake. You gotta be sleeping.
Yeah.
Oh, those are the rules of Leatherface. Yeah.
Now, I just want to point out that Mike at no point has seen Leatherface. He does not know,
what he looks
the
like,
context of what this person is. He just he calls him the Texas Chainsaw Massacre guy.
Oh my god, I love this. That is so fucking funny.
Mike told me that story the other day. I was just like, that is so us. Yeah. I don't know what it is about this island of misfits toys we put together to Tim, but God, we're so blessed to have everyone here.
We really are. Another one I want to give a shout out to, and this is weird. I need to rewatch this as an adult because I don't know if this was a good movie or not, but it was the first time I can explicitly remember that Kevin and I watched what we would consider an adult movie. Where Kevin's mom was watching a movie called What Lies Beneath.
Oh, yeah. I fucking love this movie.
And Michelle Pfeiffer.
That was a good movie.
And I remember being enthralled by
that
it.
The one
and
where she cheated?
And they're like, there's a lot of like twists and stuff. But what was in this movie was the first time I had ever seen what I now know is a trope that's overdone to hell. But the first time I ever saw a character look in a mirror and then turn around and like look back and there's something behind her.
Yeah.
And it scarred me. Like that changed everything where I was like, oh shit, there are no rules. This is the most terrifying thing I have ever seen. And I'm looking up this movie right now. And let me blow y'all simple little minds with a fucking fact.
I need it.
Guess who wrote that movie?
Kevin Williamson.
The answer is Clark Gregg, a.k.a.
No shit.
Agent Coulson.
Really?
Yeah. What the fuck?
That's so random.
That's one of those, David Hayter wrote X-Men. Like, that's one of those facts.
Yeah,
that's weird. I remember watching that movie, and I think, should we spoil this for people? It's an old movie, right? We can kind of spoil it. I'm not going to spoil this.
Yeah,
it's actually,
I think it holds up.
I haven't seen this movie since in probably 15, 20 years, but I remember being like, this is actually a really good, like, thriller horror movie because of a number of things. Go watch that. I'm not going to spoil it for people. I like that a lot.
I will go with, It's
yeah,
weird.
Where's the origin of Andy not liking Andy horror movies coming
from? It's weird, Joe, because you mentioned Blair Witch, and I grew up with an older brother who was 5 years older than me, and we had some cousins that were closer to my brother's age, that were a year or two younger than my brother. So I was always like the young kid around, like the cool older cousins and the cool brother. And like I remember watching Blair Witch, and I remember watching all the Scream movies as a kid, and they didn't really overly fuck with me, but I really think that it was, I really want to say that it was probably The Sixth Sense, and I've told that before. We went as a school field trip, and just the idea of like things being there that you can't see, and it was also just like the very non-threatening nature of the dead people as they're walking around looking horrifying and just kind of like sitting there, and there's that one kid with his like head blown off and like but they're not doing anything like scared, like I don't know, that fucked with me so hard. And I remember in one of the scenes the girl's like under the bed,
Misha Barton,
What? No way.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What the fuck? Right. So, like, that sequence plays out really, like, again, we saw that on a school field trip, and it really fucked me up.
What kind of field trip did you see?
Joe,
this
is like
on?
Fifth grade or sixth grade or something. It was wild. And then that same summer, I went to Arkansas, and I hung out with family for about a month, and I would sleep on my cousin's floor, and I would immediately think of the girl under the bed. And that fucked me on like a psychological level for a long time. And I think it was really that movie that kind of just gets, I'll be totally fine sleeping at night, Joe. And then like an image will just pop up in my head and I go, oh fuck. Now I'm just thinking of this thing now and I'm freaking out about it. Or, also Fire in the Sky really fucked me up. We've talked about that a million times, but that alien sort of abduction sequence is
horrifying.
One of the scariest things ever.
That's on Amazon Prime right now, Andy, if you want to watch it with me.
I've never seen it.
Watch party.
Nah, I'm good. I'm good. horrifying. And it's also just really gross and like just everything about it was just really fucked up. Yes. And I don't really know what else, honestly. I remember when me and my ex-girlfriend went to go watch It, the 2017 one or whatever that was.
Yeah, the newest one.
Yeah, although the one before the newest one.
Chapter one.
Yeah.
Part one. Yeah, chapter one.
And the sequence of the girl who plays the violin from the painting, and she... Was it a violin or a horn or like a clarinet or something?
I don't remember any...
I don't remember this part.
Are you talking about the part where the kid goes to the church,
whatever. Yeah.
And he sees the painting, and it's like that weird ass painting.
Yeah, it's like the girl. She's painted all fucked up in the drawing, and then she comes to life out of that painting. Yeah. And it's just imagery like that really fucks me up. Whenever we talk about the way Japanese filmmakers and developers do horror with like the twitching of the bodies and stuff, like when we did PT recently, Mike, and Lisa, her body's like twitching all fucked up. Like, it's that stuff that really is so unsettling to me. I hate that shit, dude. Hate it.
I will say one of the things I've enjoyed probably most in the last like 2 years is watching Mike play Visage. That was that was an experience. Because I'm also watching him play it. He wasn't streaming to me, so I was just watching the stream, but I'm talking to Mike in real time, which is always awkward. Because he screams, and then I see what he was screaming at 20 seconds later. So my laugh is delayed by 20 seconds, but still really good. One of the other series that screwed me up before I go, I think I've talked about this before, but man, Nightmare on Elm Street. Go fuck yourself.
I've never seen that.
Fuck yourself. That fucked me up when I was a kid. And Joey, you want to talk about shit that you're not supposed to watch when you're a kid. Well, the other day, we were watching, me and Dee were watching Predator. As we do. It's one of those movies, Tim, it comes on TV, you catch it in the wild, you're like, we got to watch Predator, right? God bless my wife, she's like, Predator's on. I was like, fucking marry me again. So we get to this part in Predator. It was like, there's like multiple parts in that movie that are just, they're scary. It's legitimately kind of like a horror sci-fi movie, right? Which a lot of people don't realize because it's turned into just sort of it's ridiculous now. But back in the day, it was scary. And I was like, oh man, this part always scared me. She goes, huh. And then we got to another part where he's doing the thing with like the razor blade. I was like, oh man, that part always freaked me out when I was a kid when I watched this. And she goes, wait, when did this movie come out? And I was like, I don't know. And I looked it up and it was like, oh, it came out in 1987. And she was like, wait, she's like, when did you see it? I was like, well, I saw it in theaters. She goes, wait, you saw this movie? She's like, wait, when were you born? I was like, 1980. And she's like, do the math. And I was like, yeah, I was 7 when I saw this film. And she goes, you saw Predator in the movie theater when you were 7. And you think that maybe that might be a little bit of a reason why you're kind of fucked up. And I'm like, nah, come on. I just made this tougher.
You're fucked up for right? a lot of other reasons.
Yeah, that's the least of my problems here, Andy. The caffeine addiction at a very young age probably had more to do with where we're at right now.
I have one more.
Go ahead, Joe. Tim's
having an issue.
Tim, you might want to unplug your mic and plug it back in. Is it lit?
Plug and unplug.
What's happening?
Well, Tim does that. I can tell my last one. And this is not a good movie, but it's always stuck with me. We still can't hear you if you're doing anything. The House of Wax remix that came out in like the mid 2000s.
No, Joey, the original House of Wax was fucking.
I love the original House of with Vincent Price. It's so good.
And the kid from the guy from Gremlins, right? The kid that was the lead in Gremlins, I think, is in House of Wax.
No,
we're talking about House of Wax. Wait, what did you say?
I said House of like the House old Wax, Vincent Price one.
Yes.
Yeah,
he plays the
the museum curator or whatever. I think the kid in that is the same, is the lead from Gremlins, if I'm not mistaken. I'll look that up right now while you talk. Sorry. That's go ahead.
So I grew up really loving the old one. So when the new one came out, I was like, oh yeah, I'm going to see it. Plus it has Jared Padalecki in it. It has Chad Michael Murray. It has like all of my people.
Wait, like the 1953 House of Wax is the original?
Oh, you know, I'm talking about the one
there's
that came
another
out in the
80s. One. Yeah. Oh, there's, okay. It's like a Star is Born where there's just been like 17.
Yeah, they made them. Got it. The Vincent Price one, I think he was in the original one, and then I think they got him back for
back.
The other one.
Oh, interesting.
Tim said his computer pooped the bed, so unfortunately.
I guess we'll work on that.
Yeah, he'll be fine.
But and then the big like marketing one for the 2000s one was that like Paris Hilton was in it, so you see her dying or whatever. But there's one scene where like Jared Padalecki is trying to get away from the killer or whatever. Mm-hmm. And from the floorboards, the killer's hand comes up and snips his Achilles tendon from the back. Yeah. So he can't run away. Oh. And that has stayed. That's another like Final Destination thing that has stayed with me for my entire life. So like anytime I like turn off the light before I run into my bed, I'm always like to tiptoe, even though like under my bed are like drawers built into the bed frame. Like there is no under my bed for someone to hide, but I still can't get over it. And I'm like, that is such a fucked up thing to do. So they can't run. He was like dragging himself along the floor in it.
That happened in, if you remember, that's what the kid does to the older guy in Pet Sematary. He takes a little scalpel. And then the old guy like has to crawl out and the kid stabs him. Joey, we were wrong. I'm sorry. I believe the remake was called Wax Work.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
That's the one I'm talking about that has Zach, what is this guy? Zach Galligan, who was the lead in Gremlins movie. This was the movie that was like very similar where like people started turning into wax figures and he's like, what's going on? And it was like, this movie kind of screwed me up when I was a kid. A lot of films screwed me up when I was a kid.
I know.
You know one that you'll never forget though on the horror side? Saw and the ending to Saw, Nick. You know what I mean? You have that tension buildup. There you are watching the man chop off his own foot. And then here comes the music. It's building. It's like, oh, motherfucker, I was here the whole time. And then the dead body gets up and you're like, no, it's insane.
Nothing cooler.
He shuts the door. Holy dude, never forget that, bro.
I walked out of Saw. I couldn't do it.
Being in theaters for like Saw 1 through 4.
Oh,
those goddamn plot twists were some of the coolest shit as like to experience as a kid and being like, wow, this is like the pinnacle of creativity right here. Like, it doesn't get any better than this, man. Because like straight up, like I remember the plot twist of Saw 2 blew my fucking mind.
What was the plot twist for that? I only watched the first Saw and then I was like, I think I'm done with the Saw series. I don't think I need to see these anymore.
Saw 2 is the spoilers for Saw 2.
We're spoiling things. Get ready.
Put it away. Yeah. Put it away. Put the phone down, everybody. Put the phone down if you don't want spoilers to Saw 2. It's the one where the kid was kidnapped, right? And it's Marky Mark's brother.
Donnie Wahlberg.
Donnie Wahlberg. And the kid, they kept showing them footage, but the footage was like from earlier, but they thought it was in real time. And the kid was really in the safe in the room with them all along. They just didn't know. And it was like one of the coolest things of all fucking time. Like they thought they were watching a live feed of shit happening, but really all this stuff had happened a while already, like maybe a day prior. And so you kind of start figuring that because I think they go into these scenes and the bodies that really don't feel, they don't seem fresh. Maybe I'm making this up. I don't know. But I feel like there's a couple of sequences where you're like, wow, the bodies look like they didn't just die. It looks like they've been dead for a long time. And then it turns out that the kid that they're trying to save was in the room with them the whole time in a safe, like locked in a safe. It's really fucking cool.
It's awful. Man, I'm looking at photos right now. That was a bad one. That was a scary one.
You guys probably don't have any context for the movies that screwed me up because it was like 2 decades later you were born. But I was looking at this wax work and there was another movie that was like, oh, if you like this, you know, on IMDb, it's like, you like this movie that fucked you up as a kid. How about this other movie that fucked you up when you were a kid? And this one is Night of the Creeps. And you guys have probably never seen this movie, but it is like the spiritual successor to Slither. Did you ever watch Slither, which was the
James Gunn,
Nathan Fillion, Elizabeth Banks, I think was in it as well, with those little things like slither at you and they go into your like face and they take over your body. Night of the Creeps was like the original version of that. And it was it screwed me up. There were like these little things that crawled at you really fast and like sucked into your body and like fucked you up and made you like a zombie thing. I never could look at bathroom stalls the same way ever again.
Do you ever see a
Fast Times at Ridgemont High? Love that movie.
No, it's one of those that
so every, the girl goes into the TV.
No, it's a horror movie that sort of everybody regards as
Poltergeist.
One of those like underground horror movies, and if you know about it, you're cool. It's like from the '70s. It's got a weird name to it. I wanted to say Phantasmagoria, but that's the terrible FMV game video game.
No, that's Phantasmagoria was a movie as well. Phantasmagoria, I think, was a movie about the ball.
It's a word that kind of reminds me of that because it's
you're talking about Hellraiser?
No. It's a word that is very unique and weird and is not something that you hear.
Is it Suspiria?
Suspiria, there it is.
The
original Suspiria. Thank you so much, Madeline. The original Suspiria, I saw that at my friend's house back in Austin. And that shit was an attack on the senses. I didn't know what was happening. I probably shouldn't have been high as well, but it was man. It was so weird, and the sound design is so unsettling. Fuck that shit. And then they remade it, and I think everybody hated it
recently. Yeah, I couldn't remember what it was called either, so I just had to do dance horror remake movie.
They did it with they remade it with Dakota Johnson, right?
Right.
I think the criticism of that when people were like, this is a totally different movie. I was thinking Phantasm, by the way, which is an old movie that I never saw because the poster.
Chloe Grace Moretz.
Was it not Chloe Grace Moretz?
Yeah.
For the new Suspiria?
Oh, and Dakota Johnson.
Yeah
I was going to say.
Dario Argento. I remember just hearing that and being like, wow, this is some total film house bullshit, like total Austin hipster thing that you go to.
It's a draft house movie for sure.
No, not even draft house. It's the old rental place in Austin that.
Yeah, dude.
It was like one of the last VHS kind of rental places that
we went there, Andy. I think we went there with you one time. Remember, it was like that cool. It was the place to go to. It was open late. You go rent like VHS or DVDs or whatever it was, right?
Yeah, I forget what the freak it was called. But it definitely closed down, but it was one of those like last staples of kind of Austin, keep Austin weird culture, you know, that sort of shit.
They would have like there was always like a classic, like the classic posters that they would have like stapled around, like the ones for Scanners or Videodrome or all those movies that people like. It's you see t-shirts like that's cool, I bet that's a cool movie, and you watch it like, wow, that was some fucked up shit they did back in the 80s. Scanners is one of those movies that I didn't watch until way later, and I'm like, oh man, I wish I had seen this because it's actually a really cool concept. But Videodrome, I can't get through. I don't think I ever started watching that, actually. Tell you the truth.
I think it was called I Love Video. Yeah, that's it. I Love Video. And it was gigantic, dude. Check this shit out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wait, this isn't the place I'm thinking. Oh, maybe it is the place. That's cool. Man, see, I wish stores like that, like, I wish those guys could apply for, like, historical status with cities, that the city would just kind of help subsidize that. Because this is really just a moment lost in time, these video stores like this.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, thankfully the Alamo Draft House has like figured out how to sort of like
they have that front section.
Yeah, they got the front section, they've got that, and they've kind of figured out how to meld movie rentals and bar and stuff like that. So hopefully they'll hold on for a long time. But it's a shame that nobody figured out how to like make the physical movie rental store something cool that could just hang out for a long time, because man, that was always fun. Mike probably barely remembers that. Although Mike lives in Tahoe, so it's possible that he still rents all of his stuff from like the last.
There
the
is last, one two blocks away from my house. Yeah, I was just gonna say I would pay good money to go to one of those shops, like nice looking like that, with you, Nick, and have you walk us all around, and you know, we all share stories about different movies and DVDs. It'd be really cool. That would make a great experience.
Nothing but like the closest thing we can get to doing that, Mike, is when you move down here, we're going to take you to this place that we all love to go to. It's near and dear to our heart. A little place called Best Buy. Have you heard of this place?
Best Buy? No, I don't have one up here. I don't have
one. Okay. You know the one by Tan Fran is closed?
Oh, no, really?
Oh, yeah. Well, we found out when we were there eating, yeah, with Lisa and James.
Oh, no way.
We have to go to the Colma one now.
The Colma one's closer to the office anyway. That's the one I was thinking of. That's the one where we went through and we literally just went through all the Blu-rays and just walked from A to Z.
The Tim and Kevin special.
Oh, that was so, I love doing that. There's nothing more nostalgic than walking through and just like pull one up like, oh, remember this movie? And everyone's like, yeah, Nick, it's fucking Casino Royale. We've seen it about 1,000 times. Like, oh, it's so good though, guys. Remember that part in it when he runs to the wall? So freaking
Casino Royale is okay.
We could be on the precipice of something with this, Nick. You know how record stores have like now come back into pop culture?
Sure.
We could be on the forefront of bringing back some sort of movie. Maybe not a rental
thing,
but like a specialty store.
Here's what I'm thinking. Because you need, the problem with a lot of these movie rental houses is that their sole source of revenue is the rental market.
No,
right?
Funko Pops.
Mm-hmm. There aren't, no, I mean, Funko Pops. Yeah. Wait, are you saying they don't have Funko Pops?
No, I'm making a stand right here. No Funko Pops.
Well, then Greg Miller's out, because if you don't sell fucking obscure Funko Pops of the thing, of Superman that he's bought 5 times, he's not coming to the thing. Which, honestly, bonus, right? What I'm saying is they always have these movie rental houses, these places, and they're always like, our primary source of income is rentals. So you have to make it like, you got to do what Alamo Drafthouse did, which is like their primary source, I guarantee, is the bar and the food that they're bringing in, right? So what if, Joey, you walked into I Love Video, but it's actually like a low-key cool restaurant that you have like hipster style food at, but in and amongst everything else, you actually have deep like things you can rent. And then we play movies there almost like a jukebox. So if you like, if you want to like, okay, I want to watch Back to the Future, you pay like $2, it starts. But then if someone else wants to interrupt the movie, they pay like $3 and they can put on Casino Royale.
It's like a war between the tables.
Or I like that. But like, what if it is more like a jukebox in terms of songs where you're playing famous clips from these movies?
Yeah, that'd be fun. The scene from the movie where it's like, do you want to play the scene in Batman where he breaks through the skylight and saves Vicky Vale, and it stops right after Jack Nicholson goes, where does he get those wonderful toys? And it's like, oh, that'd be really fun to do. Or it's like
the sequence from Hot Fuzz where they're driving away and he shoots up into the air.
Super great. We watched Spider-Man 2 yesterday. We did the in-review with that. Man, that last sequence, movie, whatever. But that last part where she goes, go get him, Tiger. That would be the title of that. Spider-Man 2, Go Get Him, Tiger. Where it's just that sequence. That could be really, really fun. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been your Kind of Funny podcast for this week. Thank you to Andy for running this, and for Snowbike Mike for filling in, for Tim and Joey, of course, for joining us as always. Always fun to get everyone's perspective on stuff and hear some new voices. We love you all very much out there. And if you're a Patreon member, hey, hang on, because we're about to head into your Patreon-only exclusive post show right now.